God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I can still hear her voice, Mrs. Layton. She was my eighth grade language arts teacher. We irreverently called her Mrs. Layaton because she was big. And she was a big woman with a big voice, and she was using my little piece of creative writing to make a big point. She was holding it up to ridicule to teach us that you don't mix your metaphors. Because if you mix your metaphors, people can't understand what you're trying to say. She cared about communication. And so she took my little piece of creative writing and she said, an event can get burned into your memory, and an event can wash over you all at once, but it can't burn and wash at the same time. Fires burn, water washes, you have to make a choice. Don't mix your metaphors. That event is burned into my memory and it washes over me right now. I can still hear her voice, which is what makes it so hard to hear John's voice this morning, because John is mixing his metaphors. I don't know if you caught it, but he tells you about a throne where you would expect to see a king, and then John tells you that on that throne is seated a lamb, and before you can get over that, he's saying, and that lamb is a shepherd. And if that isn't bad enough, in the very, very end of this vision, he puts them all together. He says, the lamb in the center of the throne will be their shepherd and will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Mrs. Layton is in the background screaming because this isn't right. And John is in the foreground preaching because it is so right. So right for you on the day after call day. You see, God mixes metaphors. Not because he doesn't care about communication, he does. But he mixes metaphors because he cares about you. He knows that it's only by mixing metaphors that you can see something that you otherwise would never be able to see. It's kind of like going to a theater, and there on the stage you've got this blue spotlight and this red spotlight and this green spotlight, and they make three different worlds on the stage. But when those lights come together, all of the sudden you see white. And something that was always there stands out as if you had never seen it before. That's what it's like with this reading. Did you notice it? That detail so small you could have missed it? The lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd and will wipe away a tear from their eyes. Wiping away a tear. That's so small and insignificant. Why would you even notice it? I mean, think about this vision, right? John has seen thousands upon thousands of angels before this throne. He's seen four living creatures too bizarre to talk about. He's seen 24 elders on 24 thrones taking 24 crowns, throwing them down before the Lamb. He has seen a multitude of people from every tribe, every language, every nation. And these people are not named. You don't know what tribes, you don't know what languages they speak, because John is overwhelmed with the greatness of this vision. And just when you think it couldn't get any greater than that, it does. It gets greater by becoming smaller. So small that all you see is a shepherd stooping down to wipe away a tear. Now, why would you notice something like that? Well, that's where mixing metaphors is helpful. Because the shepherd who was and is the lamb knows the meaning of wiping away a tear. A lamb becoming a shepherd, it's kind of like a patient becoming a physician. You know, we've heard about those physicians who have never been patients. They're in the room, they're out of the room, they're very efficient in their job, but they don't stay in that room very long. Why? Because they never have had to stay in that room, struggling with that question about chemo. But when the patient becomes a physician, that physician stays in the room, because he knows the value of that time, how hard it is to carefully unwrap a question that's too fragile to put into words. A lamb becoming a shepherd, it's kind of like a parishioner who now becomes a pastor. You know that parishioner, don't you? That guy who was there in that big congregation loved the music there, the wonderful music programs, all of the people who knew his face but never knew his name. And those who knew him didn't really know him until I think it was exactly a year to the day that his mother died. He's sitting down at dinner with his family and the phone rings and he picks it up and it's the pastor. Hi, how are you doing? Well, I'm doing fine. It's the pastor. I'm doing fine. Why are you calling? Well, you know, it was a year ago. We buried your mother and I was just wondering if things were okay. The lamb that becomes a shepherd remembers and knows the value of wiping away one tear. Jesus Christ is that lamb. God himself became human. He knows our struggles. He knows our sins. He knows our suffering, and the price of that knowledge was death, eternal death under the wrath of God. But when he rose, he didn't forget that experience. He remembers it like scars on your hands. And that shepherd knows what it means to wipe away a tear. Now, why is this passage so right for the day after call day? Well, simply because it helps you see things you maybe otherwise didn't see. I remember call day. It was an amazing day, very confusing. I was nervous all day. You wouldn't think somebody could be nervous all day. I got that one down. I was nervous all day. I had people praying for me. I had my family that was here. And I still remember sitting there and listening as I heard all of these places where people were going. It was like this beautiful vision of God actually in mission, sending people out all over the world. But you know what? In the middle of that service, as I listened to those names, every once in a while, I'd hear a name and I'd hear a place, and you know what I thought? I thought, oh, thank God I didn't get that one. Imagine that. Someone being so selfish on the day he's supposedly giving his life to God. The only way God could send out someone so sinful and so selfish, it's only through that lamb that Lamb who forgives and sends out his people. It's true for me, and you know it's true for you. So I saw the Lamb on call day, but I didn't see the shepherd. I really didn't see the shepherd until many days later. I had written the letter of acceptance. I had talked to the district president, talked to the congregational president. We had set the date of the ordination. I had gotten the ordination preacher. We had put together the ordination folder. And I was on the phone with the secretary going through the ordination service. And I still remember, I think we were spell checking some of the names at the very end of the folder. And at the end of our conversation, the secretary said to me, she said, "Pastor, by the way, could you say a prayer for Nancy?" Now, Nancy was the daughter of one of our shut-ins. She was one of these unnamed saints that God had put into my care. And Nancy was going to have a blood test for diabetes. This was nothing, nothing out of the ordinary. This was routine. It was common. It was not a life or death situation. It wasn't a crisis. It's ordinary. But Nancy's mother knew that Nancy tended to get anxious, and so she called and asked for a prayer. And I remember that because it was my first prayer request as a pastor. But I don't remember it because it was my first prayer request. I remember it because for once it wasn't about me. I was so tired of it being about me, my call, my ordination, my graduation, where I was going. For once, it was about my Lord and his daughter, Nancy. That secretary's voice, it was as if it was the voice of the shepherd saying, "Dave, I've got this woman who's gonna have blood tests for diabetes. I know, it's nothing big, but she gets anxious. Could you say a prayer?" And I said, "Send me, send me." This morning, the church remembers John's voice. Why? Because it changes what you see. At that first hospital visitation, at that first visit to the local food pantry to meet the people who were there, at the first time you sit around the table in a parishioner's home. I know these are unsung moments of unsung saints, and they're small and they're insignificant, but they're holy. They're holy because the Lamb in the center of the throne is a shepherd, and he sends you to wipe away these tears. Amen.